Later in the fall, Carolyn Javik is going to share. Where's Carolyn hiding? There she is. She's hiding. Yeah. She's going to share. And those of you that don't know Carolyn, she has a very, I don't like to say interesting, unusual story. So you don't want to miss that. We don't have a date set, but it'll be sometime in the fall. We've heard some unbelievable stories, haven't we? How God's mercy and God's grace has been at work. And today, we're going to hear from certainly a lady that I could say is a friend. She and her husband, Skip, and their family have known them for a long time now. We have a lot of things in common. We have a lot of things not in common. Now, my wife Connie likes to spend. Carol doesn't. I don't spend, but Skip does. Figure that one out. It's a good thing they didn't get together, huh? Carol and I would be rich and Ed be poor. But this morning we're going to hear from Carol. After she's done, there's going to be a song, so don't rush right out, and then I will probably pray, and then they're going to greet you in the back. But this morning, here's my life, Carol Wolnick.
Okay, am I on? I think I'm on. Thank you. Thanks, Ed. Thanks to Mark, because he knows what I know what he went through now. He's helping me with my slides. If you know me, I love to quilt. That's one of my quilts. And then I scrapbook a lot. We have a lot of family photo albums, so that's what I'm sharing with you today. But now we have to see if I can advance the pictures. Yay, it works. Mark was going to help me. All right, I'm stepping back so I can see what I'm... 1956, my parents were married, Felix and Irene Cayazzo in North Plainfield, New Jersey, October of 56. And the next year I was born. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, my sister was born the next year, so we're only a year and 3 days apart, and we're pretty close. Daddy liked to play the piano. Are you moving them or am I? Oh, so I'm not doing anything. Are you sure? Thanks. Should have told me. Okay. Okay, we got it together. I hope. But we sang a lot with Dad when he was playing the piano. And here, I love that picture. And I was raised Catholic. Here we are on Confirmation Day, my sister and I. My dad worked for Exxon for 46 years. My mom had many jobs before she got married. She worked as a seamstress in factories, and she was even a Rosie the Riveter during the war. She eventually, really, she went to one of those reunions. It's pretty cool. She eventually became an LPN, but after I was born, she was a stay-at-home mom. This was the 60s. My sister and I were the only kids on the block that went to Catholic school, so we felt a little bit like outcasts. And there were a lot of rules and rituals. Confession, First Fridays, communion, confirmation. And one time I remember going to confession, and I said to the priest that I didn't like going to Mass. And I said, because I don't get anything out of it. And he said, well, it's not what you get out of it, it's what you put into it. And I don't know, I think the Lord meets us, so that's why we go to be with the Lord during services. And also, is a priest really our go-between? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if I even had a heart for the Lord, because I always feel like I insist on my own way. I also felt like I didn't know that I was going to heaven. So I was a Girl Scout all through school, all the way up to senior year of high school. In the 60s, there were riots in the cities, And I remember them because we could hear gunshots from our house during that time. And I was very upset about all these racial things that were going on. I was upset about the older generation being against other races. So I applied to a Girl Scout opportunity in Oklahoma, and I was accepted. It was called Barriers Down, and it was designed that we would have the hope of breaking down barriers between all kinds of people groups. I ended up being in the group with the elderly, that's what happened. But as I think back to that, I'm saddened because we still have the same issues today. And we don't have love for one another, and that's really what makes me sad. One of the songs that I remember from that time, maybe some of you would remember it, it was called Black and White. The ink is black, the page is white. Together we learn to read in white. A child is black, a child is white. The whole world looks upon the sight, a beautiful sight. The world is black, the world is white. It turns by day and then by night. A child is black, a child is white. Together they grow to see the light, to see the light. So that was kind of one of my dreams, that we could all get together. I think of this Christmas carol. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. One of the verses says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks a song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." So God's in control, but I still would like to see a lot more love shared. When I got out of Catholic grade school, we got to go to North Plainfield High School public school. And I got involved with activities. And some of you see me try to shoot baskets out there every once in a while. This was only the second year that they had a team at my school, because, you know, the women were getting to play now. So anyway, that was something that was fun. And then I had a nice group of girlfriends. We were kind of kooky. We did silly things, but we were good friends. When I went to Oklahoma, I ended up with a lot of pen pals because there were girls from every single state. And one of those friends was Amy. And she was telling me about the Lord. She was telling me about the Lord, and she sent me a Bible. I never had a Bible before, so that was pretty cool. Another pen pal talked to me about the Lord. And then I had some friends in school. Kim invited me to a Bible study. And Jack, he was a Christian, but I met up with him later in a church. And I said to him, "How come you didn't tell us that you were a Christian?" And he goes, "I just tried to survive that school," because the kids were not very nice to him. But he's a great guy. And he and his wife used to go to Phillipsburg Alliance. And we've met her at the ladies' retreats. They were there until they moved out of New Jersey. And then there was Bill. He was also a friend that I knew was a Christian. So I'm grateful for those influences. I also was influenced by teachers. This is Mrs. Cosner. She was our health teacher. And we did not have mixed classes. We only had girls in our health class. Well, in high school, I was starting to hear about all these girls getting very intimate with their boyfriends. And I didn't think it was right, but I didn't really feel like I had any footing, and I was upset about them all being so talkative about it. Mrs. Cosner, she said to us, "You girls, you wait till marriage, even though everybody else isn't." And I was really happy to have an authority figure in telling me that. But then I also found out in the Bible that God says to wait. There are verses in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 6 that tell us about being pure and sanctified before the Lord. I recently read that we're in a very invisible but very real spiritual battle. Satan likes to take romance and twist it for his own purpose. However, marriage is symbolic of our relationship with Jesus because we are his bride, and he wants to prepare us to be holy and pure before him. So that was really, really good for me. I mean, I didn't read that then, but I know it now. Also, I had Miss Bellino. She was my chemistry teacher, and I didn't even like science until I had chemistry. It had a lot of math in it, so that's why I liked it. And later on, I found out that Miss Bellino was a Christian too. But at that time, she encouraged me to become an engineer with all those men, as she put it. And Mr. Pecoraro, he is my physics teacher senior year. And he got up in front of the class and he told us about Jesus right in front of the class. And I've got to look him up and send him a thank you note, because he really started me on my walk with the Lord. He encouraged me to go to Kim's Bible study. So I'm really grateful. There are teachers out there, and I know it's difficult now, but I'm glad that he was there. So I graduated from Rutgers. I'm sorry, I graduated from North Plainfield High School, and then I was going to Rutgers. And my father convinced me to be a commuter, because Rutgers was only 10 miles away. I really wanted to live at school. But I did agree to become a commuter. I even applied to two out-of-state schools, and I didn't get to go there. So anyway, I commuted to Rutgers. And at that, I did feel a little outcast there, because most of the students lived on campus. But the very first day of school, I met John. And here he is with his wife, Kim. And I knew right away that he was a Christian. He was talking to me about the Lord, and he told me about a church that some of his friends were going to, and that church happened to be right near my hometown. So I started going to that church during that first semester. I also, somewhere along the line, met Carol Schmidt. There she is. And she was like a spiritual mom to me. Go one more. During that time, as I said, my major was engineering, and I was taking in a lot of science classes. And one scripture that affected me a lot was from Colossians 1, where it says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I was learning the second law of thermodynamics in class, which says everything goes from order to disorder. And I, how does it stay together? It's got to have an outside force. And right in that verse it says, "In him all things hold together." That really touched me. I also learned that Jesus is our high priest. We don't need a go-between, as I had felt that I was being taught in the Catholic Church. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And then I also heard about being saved. "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." What's the next one? Okay, so I went to that church in Plainfield. And by the end of that first semester, I felt like I was really in a relationship with the Lord. I remember going out with those girlfriends that I showed you at one night for pizza. And we were 18, which was the drinking age at the time. And I ordered a drink. And I felt God saying to me, "This is your last drink." And I said, "Okay, God." You know, that's just how he talked to me. And so I said, "Okay, God." And so when their other parents might have been worried about their kids being out late and running around drinking, mine were probably worried that I was going to that church, which wasn't in such a nice section of our town. All during college, I continued going to Catholic church. I went to also Catholic Charismatic prayer meetings. And I also joined InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, which I think laid the groundwork for my life, because they taught us about having quiet time, studying God's word, having prayer partners, going to small groups, going to large groups. I also went to a missions conference out west, and I learned to love the great hymns that are sung by thousands. And I remember singing in this huge venue, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad, the honors of thy name. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me." So we have those hymnals in the pews there. They have a lot of truth, and they have a lot of words in there that can encourage your life. That was one thing I learned. So by senior year, I was graduating. What didn't happen? Because I forgot my first line. This is a tale of what did happen and what didn't happen. I was supposed to be that my teaser. Anyway, what didn't happen? I realized that commuting to college was really a blessing in my life because I wasn't living at school. At Rutgers was a big party school. So you know what I did? I thanked my God, I thank my father for making me commute to college, because a whole lot of things could have happened to me that could have harmed me for life. It was God's protection in my life. And it taught me a principle that God sets up authority in our lives for a reason, to keep his hand of protection on us. And it's up to us to submit to that authority and to live in freedom. In Exodus, it says to honor your father and mother and you'll live a long life. After graduation, I told my mom I can't keep going to both churches, so I did stop going to the Catholic Church because I wasn't going to have the support of InterVarsity anymore. So I moved to Trenton and had my first job at American Standard. A friend of mine from Rutgers told me about a Bible study that was fairly nearby. Rich there, second one from the left, he was one of the leaders. We met at his house in Lakewood, and then Ro, standing next to me, she and her husband, Mike, lived in Allentown, and sometimes the Bible studies were at my house. They were on Friday nights, and we were really close together. And Rose's husband before Ed, who's in the picture, his name was Mike. He was one of the leaders. He was great. And he got cancer during that time. It was really sad. He was paralyzed. And the whole Bible study rallied around them. Some people even quit their jobs and moved in with Ro and Mike to help take care of him. He passed away in February of 1981, and he loved basketball, so after he died, I pictured him playing basketball in heaven and never missing a shot. So the group decided that it was time that we start going to our own churches, and we disbanded the Friday night Bible study. I was actually going to Capitol during that time, and everybody was going to other churches. And Ro was going to Fountain of Life, and that's where she met Ed. Richie and Peggy go to church in Freehold. So I remember the last Bible study, and I caught Richie in the hallway, and I said, Richie, you guys all have each other, and I don't have anybody. And he said, well, I'm going to pray for you that you're going to meet somebody. And a friend of mine at Capitol was also praying the same thing. So in 1956, the same year that my parents were married, Harry and Barbara Olnick were married. And then the next year came the little skipper. I'm thinking that's around the same time as that little picture of me with the balloon, so I like that one. Well, Skip was raised in the Baptist church, and he was a pretty solid Christian, and he started going to Capitol. And there we are at the Capitol Youth Car Wash. That was really my first encounter. We were helping out with the car wash. And then shortly after that, they had the first one and only square dance at the church. Never had another dance at the church again, but that was our first date. And we dated for about 5 months. And Doug kind of stole my line, because Skip likes to say we're the original odd couple. I'm an engineer. He's a nurse. He loves to shop. I don't like shopping at all. And he's more the talker than I am. I'm more quiet. I think some of you might know that. So here he is when he asked me to marry him. Yes, he had all that hair. and he still does. We were married October 30th, 1982. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go back to this. This was our wedding invitation. A cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. I put this Bible verse almost every time we go to a wedding in the wedding card, because a marriage can't hold together unless you have three: the husband, the wife, and God. And each of you has to find your own joy and fulfillment in the Lord, and that will enhance your marriage. And when we had our service, the congregation sang a hymn of blessing: in their lives, Lord, be glorified. So come 1986, Whoops, there's our wedding picture. Sorry, forgot about that. In 1986, early, we were expecting our first baby. And it was even before our baby was born, on a Sunday night service, that pastor asked people to stand and help raise our baby as we were dedicating her to the Lord. And we remember that as a significant time, that little did we know how much support we were going to need from all the members at church. And when pastor dedicates our pastor dedicated babies, he would always say what the baby's names were. In 1986, Lauren Felicia was born, and he said that her name was like a laurel crown, and Felicia means happiness, so she was a crown of happiness. And Nathan was born in 1989. He's Nathan Harrison, son of Harry and gift of God. So I was happy to be a stay-at-home mom. I really enjoyed it. I remember coming home one fall day and just thanking God for being able to be home with my kids. I did have a part-time job, but it was mostly I was home. I love bedtime with our kids and telling them bedtime stories. And two stories I recall, and my people know this about me, that I like stories about people overcoming hardship. One was called The Long Winter, and that was a true story about living through a long winter. And it took us really long to read the book, but it wasn't as long as that winter was for them. And then the other one, and this is a really good book to read, Endurance, Shackleton's Incredible Voyage, about a voyage to Antarctica where they were shipwrecked and they were like living on an iceberg. And that was another long book, but they were marooned for a long time, longer than it took us to read that book. So I remember reading that. So in 1992, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I was putting Lauren to bed, and I was tucking her in, and I said, "Do you know that God has great plans for you?" And she said, "Yes, heaven." And the next day, Lauren was sick. She couldn't go to the bathroom. There was something wrong. We took her to the doctor. They sent us for an ultrasound, and we ended up in the hospital in New Brunswick. And we spent Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's in the hospital. It was 2 months altogether. It was really hard to be away from Nathan. And I was trusting that on this end in Hamilton, Skip's family helped take care of him. And then on the New Brunswick end, my parents came every day to see us whenever we were in the hospital. My mom would take our laundry and bring it back clean the next day. It was really a good support on both ends. But I was recalling about how I wanted us to be together so much. When Lauren was being treated, she was in isolation. So around Christmas time, she had her own room with the door closed. And on Christmas Eve, all four of us stayed together in the hospital in her room. And then the next week, it was New Year's Eve, and all four of us stayed together in the hospital. And then we snuck in one more night, all four of us together. Well, the next day, the head nurse came in, and she's just talking to us, and my dad was there, and she said, "And whole families are staying here, and that's not allowed." And my father's like, "That's not happening." And I'm like, "Pop, yeah, it was us." So it was just that I always wanted us to be together as much as we could be. And early on in this, when we were going through this, a friend of ours said to us, "When you're going through hard times, you either get bitter or you get better, and it's your choice. If you get bitter, it's just going to eat you up on the inside. If you choose to get better, it's going to be for your good, and the only way you can do it is with God's help." So Lauren went through all this treatment, and afterwards she had surgery, and they said she needed a bone marrow rescue in Nebraska. So we were able to all go to... Oh, there's Lauren. There we are. She had a hard time at the beginning, but that picture is when she was really turning around and getting to be her usual personality. They sent us on a Disney Wish trip. It was wonderful to all be together like that. Stop. Okay. And we went to Nebraska, and we thought, well, maybe just I would go with Lauren, but we decided we really needed to be together, so we all got in our big car and we drove to Nebraska together. Our friends back here had fundraisers for us to help us with Skip not working. We didn't miss a beat as far as paying bills or anything. So after that bone marrow rescue in Nebraska, Lauren had 18 months of remission, and in 1995 she relapsed. Yeah, she relapsed in 95, and in the spring of 96, we were at the shore with some friends, and that particular weekend, she wasn't able to walk anymore. And I remember going on the beach and talking to the Lord and saying, "Lord, she belongs to you." And I totally surrendered her to the Lord, and it was up to him what was going to happen. What helped me during that time was a book, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And when you leave today, there's copies of this in the back that you can take home, because there was a lot of encouragement in there. And he really gave me strength during that time. So in 1996 of November, Lauren went home to be with the Lord. Lauren was 10, and when she was first diagnosed, she was 6. And Nathan was 7. He was in second grade. We decided that we would start having some vacations at a different place, so we started going near Ocean City, Maryland. And we decided to buy a house near there eventually. But during that time, raising Nathan, there was school, there was soccer, there was gymnastics, and he and I had a wonderful paper route for 4 years together. It was his route, but we had fun doing that every morning. I was working for the state at that time. There's some more pictures. Nathan eventually decided to go to Salisbury University because it was near our house in Maryland, and he had a semester in New Zealand, which was wonderful for him, and then he graduated, and he has found his niche in pharmaceutical marketing. But it makes me think about people with young kids, because our day-to-day parenting is finished, but those with young children, you think that it's so busy and everything, but you really need to cherish these moments, because the days go so quickly, and before you know it, they're grown up. We want our legacy to continue with them, so spend the time with them to help them out and grow strong with the Lord. So there are some things that I have some random thoughts about. I'm just going to throw them out at you. Different things. One of them is I still need to surrender to God every day. There's a song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. One of the verses says, I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Another verse that helped me was in 2 Corinthians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Another thought I have is, and if not, he's still God. Job lost it all, and I clung to this verse, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. And it is well with my soul, which we sang today. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Sometimes milestones are tough. Other when I'm at weddings and babies, and I try to remember to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And we at Wings, we've been having some really good verses. And from Isaiah 61, this is on Wednesday night, Wings. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And later on it says, he provides for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that we will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his splendor. Skip and I have had some health issues along the way. I think you could go to one more picture there. And God has helped us through them. But I still have trouble going to the hospital. And I was there the other day because I had a stress test. And sad to say that I still get very emotional when I'm in the hospital, and I really need to be better at that. and really need to calm down and ask God for his peace when I'm sitting there waiting at the hospital. Jesus said in John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So do you know that God has great plans for you too? He has heaven planned for you. Heaven is your real home. And we look forward to that great wedding banquet of the Lamb, where we're going to be that bride presented before the Lord, pure and holy. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he didn't come into the world to condemn us, but that we would be saved. So God is always faithful and true. And I want to thank the praise team, because they're going to come up and sing a closing song that has very much encouraged my life. And that's the end. Sorry, you got your music.
I got it. Thanks, honey.
Thank you.
Turn them on.
Oh, give me that. That didn't work. Mark, thank you, Mark.
Don't know how I'm going against me. I've got my best. Lord. You remain in control in the middle of the world. You guide my soul. You are the anchor when the sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. You remain in control in the midst of the war. You guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm.
Would you stand, please? Yeah, please take a moment to greet Carol and Skip. Read the article that they're going to give you from James Dobson, When God Doesn't Seem to Make Sense. If you get a chance, take them out to dinner. Skip will probably get chicken parm. And Carol will get some kind of pasta with broccoli or something. Now, take them out to dinner because you'll get to hear how a couple did not get bitter, they got better.
Amen.
And Carol mentioned their physical things. Theirs are serious physical things. She didn't mention that she has her motorcycle license and has her own trike, Can-Am. Some of you know that, some of you don't. But you get a chance to talk with them, they'll tell you about the little notes that Lauren left that they found after she was gone. And she's in heaven on a swing, right, Skip? Just waiting. Yeah. So greet them, say hi to them, and just hug on them and love them. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Your presence is so awesome. Continue to bless Skip and Carol and Nathan. Pray that Carol will know your healing. Completely. Just touch her heart. Oh, Lord, be so real. Bless us now as we leave this place. We breathe in your presence, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.